In the Old Testament book of Judges. Old Testament book of Judges today. And we're going to read some of the scripture together, but kind of, as I said last week, when I preach from the Old Testament, a lot of times I just love doing this because I can just kind of go with the narrative of what's there and fill in some things along the way. And that's kind of what we want to do today. I want to focus on this theme of who you say I am. Who you say I am. When I was growing up, and when all four of us boys, my three brothers and I, most of my life growing up, there were four boys in the house. My dad worked full-time job as a coal miner, and then later in life, a little bit later, he started his own business doing heavy construction equipment. So he was gone a lot, and my mom was home a lot with us four boys by herself, and I still say she's sprouting some extra wings today because of putting up with all of us. But we all have favorite memories of growing up, and one of the things that we always looked forward to when we were growing up, especially as younger boys, there are certain times of the year TV shows, you know, different special movies and stuff would come on, whether it was Christmas time with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all the different things that happen, or whether it was Halloween and it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, or different things like that. But one of the things my brothers and I really enjoyed was any time there was a Winnie the Pooh movie on. And as I think back on it, I see now where my kids get that, because after Blenda and I got married and started a family, Jordan and Emily both, when they were very, very young, we just wore out. I mean, we completely wore out VHS tapes with Winnie the Pooh segments on them, because they would watch them over and over and over again. And as silly as it may seem to you, there was one of those episodes that came to mind when I was thinking about this sermon. There's an episode where Tigger is being Tigger. He's rambunctious. He always gets in other people's way. He's always causing a mess for other people, and he's doing what Tiggers do best. It's bouncing. And he just bounces everywhere and drives the rest of his friends in the 100-acre woods crazy. And there's one episode where he's bounced through so much mud, and he's bouncing on people and landing on people, getting everybody else dirty and all these kinds of things, that they decide, everybody else, all his friends in the 100-acre wood decide they're going to get together, and they literally carry him. They carry him to a bathtub full of soap and water. And they're going to give him a bath because he needs a bath. So they get Tigger in this tub, and they scrub and scrub and scrub with brushes, and they scrub so hard that when Tigger comes out, he's lost his stripes. Well, we laugh at that, and we think it's funny. And in the episode, it is funny, because then after this, Tigger spends the entire rest of that episode trying to figure out who he is. See, because when he lost his stripes, he lost his identity. So we've gone through the whole episode now, and they've tried to convince him maybe he's a bear. Maybe he's Piglet. Maybe he's a rabbit. But we all know the truth behind that. When it comes down to the very end of it, he's not any of those things. He is who he is. And before I go on with this sermon, I want us to watch a little bit of this episode. It's towards the end. Tigger becomes very sad because of his identity crisis. He doesn't know who he is, and the other people don't know who he is. But I want us to watch this episode, this clip of this Winnie the Pooh episode, and I want us to watch who comes to the rescue. And I want you to listen very closely to the conversation and the dialogue.
Sort of stunning, wouldn't you say?
You know, I think you could be a Tigger.
You think I could be a Tigger?
I'm a Tigger! I'm a Tigger! I'm a Tigger!
I'm not a Tigger. A guy, when he's a nothing but stuff, ain't even got a name. I know I've changed on the outside, but on the inside I feel the same. Maybe someday I'll know who I am, but for right now, somehow, I don't have a name.
Hello, Tigger.
You know, that's the third time today you called me Tigger.
Well, aren't you?
No, I don't have any stripes.
Oh, doesn't matter. You're still Tigger on the inside.
I didn't know Eeyore had X-ray vision.
No, don't need it. You'll always be Tigger. It's all in the stuffing.
You mean I'm a Tigger no matter what?
Well, of course.
Yahoo!
Nothing to get hysterical about.
Well, what do you know? A stripe! My stripe! I got a stripe!
Hello, Tigger.
He called me Tigger. Well, poor boy, I got my stripes back.
Cool.
All except for one. Thanks, buddy boy. Now I'm a Tigger on the outside and a Tigger on the inside, too. Well, I got a lot of bouncing to catch up on.
What in the world does that have to do with a Sunday morning sermon? Let me tell you. Judges chapter 6. If you look in verse 1, it says this: the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord handed them over to Midian for 7 years. They oppressed Israel. Because of Midian, the Israelites were made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, the caves, and the strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the Cutamites came and attacked them. They encamped against them. They destroyed the produce of the land, even as far as Gaza. They left nothing for Israel to eat, as well as no sheep, no ox, or no donkeys. For the Midianites would come with their cattle and their tents like a great swarm of locusts. They and their camels were without number, and they entered the land to lay waste to it. So Israel became poverty-stricken because of Midian, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Sounds kind of like last Sunday if you were here, doesn't it? Talking about the Israelites just coming out of Egypt and being led by Moses, and they start complaining and they start crying, and because they're at the Red Sea. And the Red Sea's in front of them and Pharaoh's behind them, and they start complaining and crying out. When the Israelites, it says in verse 7, cried out to him because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to them. And he said to them, this is what the Lord, God of Israel, says. I brought you out of Egypt and out of the place of slavery. I rescued you from the power of Egypt and the power of all who oppressed you. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites whose land you live in. But you did not obey me. In verse 11, the angel of the Lord came. He sat under the oak tree that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash. the Abizarite, son of Gideon. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? They said, 'Hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have. Deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you." But Gideon said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's family." Father, this is your word today, and I ask for your help because you know I can't do what I have to do here today by myself. I don't want to. So, God, I just pray for your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Who you say I am? I want to look at a couple of different mindsets today and then what we have to do in order to change our mindset. The first mindset I want us to think about is this. It's called the Gideon mindset. I want us to think for a few moments together this morning about how this man named Gideon saw himself. Look at what he says. He saw himself as a coward. Look where we find him. We know the history. We just read about how he's hiding in an old abandoned wine press and he's threshing wheat. He's separating the wheat from the chaff, what little wheat there was that they could salvage from whatever the Midianites destroyed. They went out and gathered, and here he is. He's threshing it to see if he can salvage it and use it for food and for product and for their survival. But he's hiding in order to do it. He's afraid. That old abandoned wine press, beating that wheat that's been salvaged from the crops that the enemy destroyed, because he was afraid if he came out into the open of what the enemy would do to him. He saw himself as a coward. He was afraid to face whatever life would offer him and whatever life would bring his way. He saw himself as weak. Without strength. He saw himself as unable. He said, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? My family is the weakest in Manasseh. In all of our land, my family is the weakest." So he's hiding in this wine press trying to salvage a little bit of wheat to provide some food and sustenance for his family and the other people. The angel comes to him and says, "You need to go deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites." He said, "Please, Lord," you want my translation of that is, "Get real." Get real. You're coming to me and calling me a valiant warrior, a mighty warrior. You're telling me to go deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites, and I'm sitting here hiding away in this hole because I'm afraid to come out, but you're going to send me? Get real. Let's just be honest about who I am. He saw himself as unimportant. He saw himself as unworthy. Insignificant, irrelevant. My family is the weakest in Manasseh. And look what he says, "I am the least in my family." I am the least in my family. What in the world? How in the world do you expect me to do anything? I'm not important. I'm not some great leader. I'm not some great warrior that you have described me as when you show up here today. He saw himself as a failure. He saw himself as forsaken. He saw himself as abandoned. Look what he says. Now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the enemy. And here's maybe one of the saddest things that I find, that I kind of gathered from this, and it doesn't necessarily say it here, but I in my studies and just in my prayer time, God gave me this idea. Gideon saw himself as all these things: cowardly, weak, unimportant, a failure, forsaken, abandoned. And here's the most dangerous part of it. I think Gideon saw himself as destined to stay that way. Have you ever felt like, well, this is the way my life's always going to be, so I might as well just accept it? If this is the way my life is going to be for the rest of my life, I might as well just accept it and move on and never hope for anything better. This is the Gideon mindset. And then I want us to notice how he saw God. How did Gideon view God in all this? See, I find that Gideon saw God as a distant deity that was from the past. How do I know that? Because Gideon almost describes God as some folk story legend. Listen to what he says. Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? They tell us, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? I can hear the contempt in his voice. I can hear the mocking in his voice. I can hear Gideon saying, this is what I've heard that God has done all these years back, but what has he done for me lately, so to speak? Aren't we guilty of that today? I've heard all my life about God doing this great thing or that great thing. I've heard all my life about God delivering this person and God healing this person, but why hasn't he done it for me? That's where Gideon is right now. I've heard about all these things, but look where he's left us. I think Gideon sees God as an absentee father. He said, the Lord has abandoned us. He's just left us behind. He's left us on our own. That's how he sees God. He sees God as being the reason for all their problems. He said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? I've been there and I've said that exact same thing. I've looked up to the sky and I've almost shook my fist at times in the past in the face of God and said, God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't allow this to happen in my life. Can I just stop here and say something? If you need to act like I'm not preaching to you, that's fine, because really what I'm doing is preaching to me the message that God gave me. You can just listen to me preach to myself. The Lord has handed us over to Midian. He's blaming God for the problems that are going on for the Israelite people. And when all along what he's doing is failing to see that the reason they're going through all the problems is because of their own sin and disobedience. Verse 1, the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord handed them over to Midian for 7 years. My sin and my disobedience is never God's fault, and I can never blame him for it. I have to take responsibility. So the Gideon mindset, how he saw himself and then how he saw God. Gideon in a sad state of affairs right now. But good news is coming. So then I want us to think about the other mindset that's kind of at play here. The God mindset. We have the Gideon mindset. Now I want us to think about the God mindset. How did God see Gideon? How did God view Gideon? What did he think of him? God saw him as a mighty, valiant warrior. Isn't kind of funny? That's kind of funny, isn't it? I told you last week, God has a sense of humor. Gideon had probably never fought anything or anyone in his life other than that wheat that he was messing with in the wine press that day. I don't see Gideon as a fighter. Just from his conversation with the angel up to this point. God saw Gideon as a mighty, valiant warrior. God saw Gideon as a man of strength. Listen to what the angel tells him. Go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. Go in the strength you have. Gideon saw himself as weak and unable, but God saw him as a person of strength who could carry out what God was getting ready to ask him to do. Go in the strength that you have. God saw Gideon as an instrument of salvation and deliverance. He tells him, go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. You will strike Midian down as if they were one man. That's what it says. Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? My family is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the youngest in my father's family, but I will be with you, the Lord said to him. You will strike Midian down as if it were one man. That's in verse 16. I will be with you. Go in the strength that you have. And then here comes a very important part. God saw Gideon as his own chosen vessel. Look what he says. I am sending you. Just as Moses was God's chosen vessel to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, now Gideon becomes God's chosen vessel to deliver Israel once again from the hand of the enemy and set them free. I am sending you. I will be with you. I want to read something to you. If you ever want to ask yourself the question, how does God see us? Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 1. If you want to read along, I want you to read along. If you want to just listen to what God thinks of you, just close your eyes and listen. Don't go to sleep, though. You might miss something. Maybe. Outside chance you would, but maybe. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. I have given Egypt as a ransom for you, Cush and Seba in your place. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I will give people in exchange for you and nations instead of your life. Do not fear. For I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who bears my name and is created for my glory, I have formed them. Indeed, I have made them. How does God see us? How did God see Gideon? How does God see you? How does God see me? Let me tell you, he sees us as his personal creation. He formed us. He redeems us. What does that mean? He pays the price for our sin. He calls us by name. He promises to be with us. He promises to draw us close to him. He promises to protect us. We are precious and honored in his sight. He loves us and he calls us his own. What does that mean? What it means is that when I see myself as cowardly and afraid, he sees me as a warrior. When I see myself as weak, he sees me as a person empowered by his strength. When I see myself as being unimportant or unworthy or insignificant or irrelevant, he sees me as his own personal creation. He sees me as someone of so much value that he would and did pay any ransom price to get me back. You see, the Bible tells us that we are not our own, that we're bought at a price, and the price that was paid for you and me was the very blood of Jesus that flowed from his body as he hung on that cross as a sacrifice for our sin. How does God see us? When God looks down and sees me, and when he sees you, what does he think? What fills his heart? When I see myself as forsaken, God sees me as a chosen vessel. When I see myself as abandoned, he sees me as someone he promises to never leave alone. When I see myself as destined to stay that way, he sees me as someone who refuses to allow me to stay that way. He sees me as his own child, as a member of his own family. So we have the Gideon mindset. How Gideon saw himself and how he saw God. And then we have the God mindset, how God really sees us. So somewhere along the way, we have to make this great mind shift. What is that? It's moving from our mindset, how we see ourselves, to God's mindset and how he sees us. For some of us, our mindset has been ingrained in us for a long time. It's what we consider normal. So what do we do? How do we get from my mindset to God's mindset? Here's what God showed me. The first thing is this: I have to be open-minded to change. Maybe you're a believer who's starting to realize that you are stuck in your own mindset. Maybe you're not even a Christian yet, and you're not really even sure what you think about all this God stuff. But the first step is to be willing to at least entertain the thoughts and ideas of God. At least be open to the possibility that God is real. Be open to the possibility that God really does love me. Be open to the possibility that the life I'm living now isn't what I'm destined to be and what I'm enslaved to be for the rest of my life, because God has a different plan. At least be open to that idea and that possibility. Look what Gideon does in verse 17. He opens that door of possibility. Here's what he says. He says to the angel, "If I have found favor with you, give me a sign that you are speaking to me. Please do not leave this place until I return to you, and let me bring my gift and set it before you." Gideon is starting to experience a mind shift. Gideon is now opening the door of his mind to the possibility that maybe this isn't the life I'm destined to live until I die. Maybe there is something else. Maybe I can have a different life than what I have right now. He's opening the door to that possibility. We have to do the same. Maybe my life could be different. Maybe this isn't how it has to be. Maybe. Can I just ask you to do something? Do me a favor this morning and just open your mind to the possibility of maybe. Even if I can't prove it to you and you can't prove it to yourself, open your mind to the possibility of maybe God really can do this for me. The next thing we have to do to make this shift, we've got to identify the source. We have to be able to pinpoint and identify the voices that are forming my mindset. I have to be able to honestly examine my own life and find out why it is I believe what I believe about myself. I have to figure out who or what, or maybe both, has influenced my life to the point where I see myself as worthless and insignificant and ineffective and insecure. What is it? I've got to identify the source, pinpoint the voices that form my mindset, and then I have to do the next step, which is face my giants. Don't try to ignore the influencers. They're not going away. Not if you just keep acting like they're not there. We can't do that. We can't just act like they're not there anymore. We have to face our giants. Then I have to surrender my demons to God. You say demons. I said, yeah, demons, and here's why. I refer to them as demons because we need to understand that anything that is designed to discourage and defeat us in our spiritual life is straight from the realm of Satan himself and cannot be allowed to take root in my life. Scripture tells us, do not give the devil a foothold. If I allow the negative thoughts, if I allow the satanic thoughts and the damaging thoughts to control my mind, I've given the devil more than a foothold. I've given him complete control of my life. Get rid of the ghost of your past. Get rid of the negative voices. Get rid of the harmful influences. Take every thought captive into obedience to Christ. Here's the next truth in all this. We can't do any of this on our own. See, there was a turning point for Gideon. There was a point where he started to become convinced of his calling and commission, and it's found in verse 22. Judges chapter 6, verse 22 says this, when Gideon realized that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, oh no, Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. See, when things really changed in Gideon's life was not when the angel first started talking to him at the wine press. It was not even when Gideon provided and presented the sacrifice and the angel accepted the sacrifice. When things began to change for Gideon was when Gideon realized that he was in the presence of God. And I'll just tell you this. Things will not. Things cannot change for us until we put ourselves in the presence of God himself. You say, where is all this coming from? It's very raw and personal for me. And as a disclaimer, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm not here as a downer today, because I can tell you something. Over the last several weeks and even few months, God's been knocking me around, doing some things in my heart and in my life. So this is not just, I want you to know I'm not at some crisis moment where I'm ready to go out and do something. I'm just sharing with you today because the process has been going on for a while now, and I feel like it's time to share that with you, because you know what? I'm not the only one in this room today that's dealing with this. So I don't say what I'm about to say for sympathy or attention. I'm just trying to be honest. And maybe, I know we have visitors and stuff here today, and they're probably thinking this guy's out of his mind, which I hope so, because the goal is to get out of my mind and into God's mind and have the mind of Christ. Amen. So I hope I'm not scaring anybody off. But I'm just going to tell you, I've lived with the Gideon mindset for I don't know how long. You see, at some point in my life, and I can't even identify when it was, not yet, not completely. I've sat in my office this week, I don't know how many times, doing exactly what I'm doing now, and just sat in my chair and prayed. Every time I tried to write this sermon, I just started praying and started crying. So I kind of knew this was going to be like this today. But at some point in my past, I've fallen into that trap of listening to a lot of the wrong voices. I guess you could say, if I want to put it in a Tigger analogy, at some point along the way in my life, I lost my stripes. I lost sight of who I was. And maybe I owe you an apology because you know what? For going back for as long as, I don't know. I don't even know how long. It's like I've preached to you the truth, the very truth of the scripture, and talked about how we could be set free from all these things, but I didn't really believe it or experience it for myself. But I know what it's like. I know what it's like of living under the cloud of believing that I'm weak. I know what it's like to live with the feeling and belief that I've been a horrible failure as a husband, a father, a pastor, a person, a son. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. We don't need a lot of detail, but just believe me when I say I know what it's like in my own life to feel so insecure and so insignificant and feel like my life isn't making a difference. I know what it's like to go through life existing instead of living. So I know what I'm preaching about today. But today, I'm going on record to say this. And as I said, it's not a process that just started today. It's a process that's been going on for a few months now. Realizing some of the changes that I need to make in my own life. I refuse to do it anymore. I refuse to live the Gideon mindset for even one more day. I refuse to be the person that I say that I am, and instead I choose to live in the God mindset, and I choose to be the person that God says I am. I choose to be the person God created and called me to be instead of the person that I've believed myself to be for a long, long time now. My question is this. Who else is here today that needs to move from the Gideon mindset to the God mindset? Who else is here today who needs to start facing some giants and confronting some demons and chasing them out the door and saying, God, I want to be who you say I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I've asked Michael to play that song. We sang it earlier, but I've asked Michael to play it. And I just want you to, if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit right where you are, I just want you to close your eyes, bow your heads, listen to the words of this song, and ask yourself the question, am I ready to move from being who I think I am to the person who God has created me to be? Listen to the words of the song as he plays it, and then you respond however you see fit.
Sets free, always free.
have some who've come to pray this morning. I want to invite you, if you feel led to come pray with somebody around this altar, I invite you to do that. If you need to leave, I understand that, and we respect that. I just ask you to please do it quietly as we continue to pray with these around. But let's just gather around family, church. If there's someone here that you want to come, feel need to come and pray with, we invite you to do that.